We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Pack-A-Day Podcast listeners and draft fanatics? Welcome to another edition of Pack-A-Day Podcast. Draft season, nonetheless. It is, we're going to take on the quarterbacks today, guys. And I know we've had some episodes previous, biggest needs, scout notes, NFC North draft outlook, most likely Packers. But as we get into more of draft mode, it's time to dive into some of these player position rankings a little bit more intricately. I, of course, am one of your hosts, Matt Fralick, alongside me once again, Eli Berkovitz, and we dust off the cobwebs, well, at least for the microphone portion for Pack-A-Day Podcast with Rob Rieger. Rob does all sorts of content or outside of Pack-A-Day Podcast, but he graces us with his presence around April every year. And this is, I don't even know, guys, this is the third or fourth year we've been doing this together. It's awesome. I'm excited to dive in. And as I said, when we were pre-recording here, I was doing some traveling earlier this last week. No one really cares, but I was getting almost all the way home, got off my flight, got to my car, had to drive home from Milwaukee. And I see Rob just antagonizing Eli and us in the DMs about, well, maybe QB is more of a rational thought for us in this draft. And thus, here we are, Rob Rieger, Eli Berkovitz. Rob, welcome to the episode, and we're excited to have you on once again.
Thank you, Matt. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I do this pretty much every year. I look forward to getting on the Pack-A-Day for draft season, kind of call myself like a sniper of the draft, and obviously follow this stuff all year, but I'm really excited. And you know, Andy gave me this opportunity, and we're teaming up for, I believe this is the fourth year in a row that we've teamed up for draft content. So thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
And of course, Eli, as you know, graciously, we're always accepting Rob into our lives here. I was going to say, no one cares. I was traveling home yesterday from New York City, and we're just getting prepped, right? We had all week to prep for our quarterback analysis and if the Packers need one, which player fits, etc. And then I check my messages, and you two are just going back and forth whether or not Jordan Love will be under another contract. And Eli was like, Eli is a hot take expert, as he'll you know, always claimed to be. But when Rob's coming in saying, well, you know, he's not extended for that long contract. He kind of took a paid cut, but doesn't get 20 million, only gets 11. I had to put the phone down, guys. It's like, I got to focus on getting home because I've had a long week of travel. And that's the last thing I need to do is be hitting you guys up when I have to pull off to the side of the road to converse back and forth. Eli, were you as triggered as me, or was it possibly the jet lag getting to me?
I wouldn't say I was triggered. It was more of just something probably that I think hasn't crossed my mind and probably hasn't crossed a lot of Packer fans' minds. But again, like you said, that's why it's always nice to have Rob or anyone, you know, who we don't generally speak to on a weekly basis, because you get different ideas. And to be honest, you know, some of the points Rob brought up, which I'm sure he will mention soon, I mean, they're not totally like invalid. I mean, they're decently valid points. Again, I still believe Jordan Love wants to be a Packer and they're going to figure out a deal. But if for some reason, you know, some of the handlings over the last 18 months or so did rub Jordan Love the wrong way, and then, you know, Goody and the front office came with a deal this time around that he didn't like, you know, it could potentially be not the best situation. Again, I don't think they're going to try to lowball him because I think they know what they have in him. But I also do think they're going to try to obviously get him for as cheap as they can, as any GM would. But a team this young, a team at the beginning of the Super Bowl window, you don't want to tie up too much money. And you got to pay your quarterback, But I do think, put it this way, I don't think it's going to be like Rodgers, where every contract was a market-setting contract. At least for this contract, the first one, they should be able to get him in the range of like top 10 paid. So he's going to make good money, but it shouldn't be insane against the salary cap. So I think it could kind of work out for both sides.
You're right, though. Like, honestly, when it comes down to it, I don't think he'll ever get a contract like a reset the market contract like Rodgers was getting. So that's valid. I think the other one that you just mentioned is like, hey, that's window of having a cheaper quarterback, super important. They did just sign two high profile free agents. Chalk that up for what you may. I think he deserves to get some money. But let Rob, I want you to kind of segue this into just the overall conversation about quarterback for the Packers. Truthfully, sure. Our preview is to look which quarterback potentially the Packers would get, or maybe one that would fit their needs. I don't think they need a starting caliber quarterback right now. We'll highlight some later in the draft, later in this conversation, you know, later on the draft. But just to kind of paint the picture of what you were kind of talking to us about yesterday, there is merit to like what you're saying, what you had said. Eli kind of on the same page as you, was like, hey, there is an option there. Maybe things were rubbed the wrong way. And what Eli said, like maybe the contract negotiations going forward aren't as pleasant. And it's like, man, you guys were kind of jerks to me last time. We had to get this figured out before, you know, I'm your QB1. Now it's like, it's even a pain in the ass now, but kind of get everyone up to speed. It is not a foregone conclusion that he is the long-term quarterback for the Packers. Of course, we all want that, but there is that, as they say, there is a chance it couldn't not happen. So why don't you just break down a little bit what you were kind of discussing in the DMs yesterday with us?
Yeah, I mean, let me make this clear right away. So one of my favorite shows of all time is Curb Your Enthusiasm, and it just ended on last Sunday. So I have a little bit of Larry David in me for the fans out there that thinking from my perspective, like if I were Jordan Love, okay, and you look at the situation last year that the Packers could have exercised his fifth-year option. It would have been $20 million. They chose not to. And actually, there was a quote from Brian Gutekunst saying, well, $20 million is a lot of money for a guy who's never played. Okay, and I never really thought of that as much of a diss because, I mean, let's be real, he hadn't played. But the reality of the situation is they kind of backed him into a corner and had him sign a very incentive-laden contract, essentially a pay cut, unless he hit certain markers during the season. But now this year, he went from, you know, this coming year, he went from having a $20 million guarantee, had they picked up that option, to I believe his base salary is like $10 or $11 million this year. Obviously, it went up a little bit from last year. So, I mean, the overall money might be about the same. But, you know, in my mind, and the other thing to keep in mind is that they could have, the way that the extensions work for, you know, some of the, I guess, novices out there, is that once you restructure a contract, you can't do it again for a year. So essentially with Jordan Love, May 3rd is a big day. So I'd hear a lot of people saying things like, oh, well, why don't they extend him now or after five games or six games? Well, he was ineligible for an extension. So May 3rd is the first time that he can sign a new contract with them. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of when the clock starts on that. So had they done the fifth-year extension, they could have at any point just tore that up and just renegotiated a long-term contract for him during the season. So I feel like they may have missed out on that opportunity there, because obviously the better Jordan Love played and the further they got in the playoffs, the price tag is continuing to go up. So let's say they would have done the five-year, fifth-year option. And then after game eight, they said, you know what, you're our guy. Maybe came with a contract, $35 million. He might have said, sure, that's great. And then taken that. But now the price tag has gone up. So, you know, and so that's number one. Number two, he's really good friends with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a mentor of his. He talks glowingly of him. And we all know what Aaron Rodgers' opinion is of the Packers front office. And at least his last, you know, couple of years in the league, a lot of it had to do with them drafting Jordan Love. But in general, I mean, he held out. He didn't keep it a secret that he wasn't fond of them. So, you know, there could be a scenario where they're hanging out, they're talking, they're texting back and forth. And Rodgers says something like, hey, man, you should probably get out of there. Like, you know, it's not a good situation, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, test the market, make them use the franchise tag on you. Now, and I don't, like I said, I don't want this to happen. Jordan Love's also from California. His girlfriend, long-term girlfriend's from California. He's not from this area. But, I mean, neither were the last two quarterbacks. So, I mean, you get into the situation where you're like, okay, do we really know what Jordan Love wants? And by the way, I'm saying there's like a 5% chance of this happening. So I'm not predicting it. I'm not putting my neck out there, but it's just one of those things. So I'll turn it back over to you, Matt. That's kind of my thoughts on that whole situation. Right.
And it's very, you mentioned the deal that was struck last year. And in my head, when it happened, you know, and I think many people, if you go back to that time, we'll call it about a year ago, I think everyone was pretty freaking happy about that deal. Hey, we haven't seen what this guy's done yet. Let's roll him out there. Let's let him get some incentives, and that's great. Now I think it's very easy to say, you know what, he probably deserves a little bit more or an actual contract. So, you know, I don't think he was taken advantage of back then as much as it's, you know, it seems now. However, it does, you know, he did outplay his contract. Let's see where he can get. And I think that's a great context. You say that May 3rd is that important date. They can't negotiate within that window or restructure it within that window. So we'll see what happens. I think he's going to be there. I also would say that to your point of the Aaron Rodgers situation, like, I think it's a little bit different. However, he could say, hey, listen, look what they did to me. Look what they've done to other people. Maybe you need to play hardball a little bit more. Maybe Green Bay isn't where you want to cement yourself in your legacy and you want to go somewhere else. I'm not sure what it's going to happen, but nonetheless, the quarterback position, pretty freaking important. It looks like the Packers have done a phenomenal job once again bringing another quarterback. But guys, got to build the quarterback room out, right? And we're going to start, let's just start right there. I want to ask Eli. Eli, where do you think, Jordan Love aside, I think it's fairly safe to say whether we go off of our 95% sure he's going to remain here consensually, there's that 5% chance, or 100% that Jordan Love's the guy going forward. We're excited for that. But where's that rotating door with QB2, QB3? Kurt Benkert was here at one point. Sean Clifford was brought in for a fifth rounder, probably overpaid for him. Alex Magoo is still on the roster. Where, if you're Gutekunst or even Jordan Love or the QB coach, like, does it make sense to have a veteran guy in there? They used to kind of do that in the past. Doesn't seem that case. But Eli, if you're, you know, I would just even the offensive coordinator, Gutekunst, whomever, do you want to have another guy around Jordan Love to kind of help him develop? Is it maybe more of a veteran guy that played, you know, many, many snaps in college football like Sean Clifford? Is it a guy that's Alex Magoo that's bounced around different leagues? Where do you kind of evaluate what you need to do to that quarterback room? And you can take that answer any way you want. Do you think it is an early round pick? Do you not even draft one to stunt the growth of the rest of your quarterback room? But Eli, what are your kind of thoughts? How would you position yourselves right now going into this next, I guess, year with Jordan Love being your number one quarterback?
Yeah, the way I've kind of always seen backup quarterbacks is, for the most part, obviously, if you're seeing your backup quarterback, you're probably screwed as it is. Like, that's just 90%+ of the time that's the case. But not always, obviously, and not just talking about Nick Foles winning the Super Bowl, but you've had backups come in and win, Matt Flynn even, you know, win some games just to get you along until your starter's back. But, like, when we had Aaron Rodgers, I was of the mind of, okay, draft a quarterback, not every year, but draft a quarterback when you think you need a backup and let him be young and maybe he can turn into something. And this was obviously later in Rodgers' career. But I thought this last year, and I still think it now, with Jordan Love, being as young as he is, even though finally has a season under his belt and obviously four seasons in the league now. But I would actually think that having a veteran as a backup would make the most sense for the Packers, because number one, Jordan Love is, again, assuming in all likelihood he is your quarterback for the long future. Like, I'm not sure what drafting a guy is going to do for you now. Like, could you develop him and he has some good preseason games and maybe you could trade him for like a day three pick? Okay. But like, that's a big maybe. And how much value are you getting from a sixth round pick in 2 years or something? So for me, it's like, if you could find, I don't even think there is anymore. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. I don't think they're going to do it at this point. But I would have looked at a potentially veteran option where, number one, someone to mentor Jordan Love. He's still young. He's still learning. It's good to have a veteran there. And then obviously, if something happened to Love, you could put someone in that you actually have some, that has some NFL experience, has won some games where you think, okay, we have a pretty good roster. If, let's say, saying, you know, fingers crossed, knock on wood, Jordan Love's out for a few weeks, we're not putting in Sean Clifford or a rookie and probably going to go lose all those games. Maybe you could squeeze out a couple wins with a veteran. So that's kind of how I see it. Overall, I think Sean Clifford, I don't know why they drafted him in the fifth round. I think they could have got him later or maybe for free potentially. But I hope, like, I don't have anything specifically against him. We haven't seen a ton from him. And I would actually argue that what we've seen from him has actually been pretty encouraging. But if they really do like someone on day three, let's say, like, I wouldn't not draft him because you have Sean Clifford. Like, if they don't like Clifford, draft someone. If they do like Clifford, you know, you don't have to really look for anyone this year, and that's also fine.
And this, yeah, I was going to say, Rob, this is one of those things where it's awesome that you're here, because I personally always feel like having a vet quarterback backup is great to have, whether it was like a Jacoby Brissett that could have been brought in or whomever. Like, I always love the fact that it's like, hey, you know what? This guy isn't 23. Maybe he's 32. Maybe he's 35. But we at least have seen him in the pros be able to develop. So yeah. I'm kind of with Eli. I always love that vet mentality, especially when it's a guy like Jordan Love who could use a little coddling once in a while. Hey, this is how I've handled adversity traveling to XYZ environment, or here's how I kind of prepare. But it doesn't seem like that's been a priority for the Packers for a long, long time, albeit they had a veteran, Aaron Rodgers. So I guess Eli and I are in the camp of like a vet QB would be great.
Yeah.
As it sits, middle of April, probably not going to happen that way. And if it does, it'd be kind of a goofy scenario. But where do you kind of fall, Rob, with the QB? I guess, like I asked Eli, the whole overall perspective. And then do you feel like a vet QB is better, or do you kind of just grab that talent where you can get it regardless of position when it comes to the draft, even if it does maybe cause a stir and you get rid of the second or third guy in the QB room?
Football season is over. College basketball season is over. The NBA and NHL regular seasons are almost over. But guess what? We are still in a wonderful sports time of year with the start of a new baseball season already kicked off and NHL and NBA playoffs right around the corner. And what better way to get hyped for playoff hoops and hockey than by signing up for Prize Picks and getting in on the excitement with America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks is the place where you can use your knowledge to take $10 and turn it into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball entries today. That's 100 times your money with as few as four correct picks. And here's something I haven't even mentioned yet. You can play against some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill or Sugar Shane O'Malley. Just go to Community Plays under the Promos tab to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community. And one of my favorite aspects of Prize Picks too is injury insurance. Your entries will stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For example, let's say you have a basketball player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second half. That player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry still stays alive. This week, I'm going NBA heavy. I'm looking for a Bucks bounce back with Giannis, a fiery Kevin Durant to end the season, and Luka Doncic going scorched earth as they try to secure a better seed. Listen, I'm having a blast with Prize Picks, and you should be too. So download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Wait, did you just call me a vet backup of this podcast?
Was that... Well, you technically would be the veteran backup of the podcast. Okay, yes.
The veteran backup. But we can
plug and play you. We can plug and play you as need be.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm on the sidelines waiting. But from my perspective, I think there's one guy specifically, and I've actually heard some rumors behind the scenes of possibly bringing in Jimmy G to come in and be a backup quarterback somehow. I'm not sure what his status is. I believe he's a free agent or soon to be a free agent, depending on, you know, what the Raiders do in the draft. But he was a guy that's kind of, you know, he knows that type of offense. And let's face it, you know, Jimmy G's won the lottery of life. Like he's won already. Like anything he does from now on would be gravy. And when you look at Super Bowls, look at the past. What did the Packers do with Brett Favre? Who was Brett Favre's backup back in 96? Jim McMahon. So take a guy who was the quarterback that beat you to get to the Super Bowl, put him as a backup on your team right now, and then and roll out with that. The other guy that to keep in mind is a guy like a Ryan Tannehill is sitting out there right now. So a guy who's maybe, you know, he's made his money, he doesn't have a ring, and maybe wants to kind of pursue that and help out. But the thing with Clifford is, I mean, I was not a big fan of his coming out last year. I didn't even have a draftable grade on him. I thought that he'd be an undrafted free agent. He played a lot of football, and they may have drafted him because of his intelligence, which, I mean, he's a smart guy, but he just simply didn't have the talent to really compete at the quarterback position as a starter. So, you know, I'm kind of in that mode right now where we're really gearing up for a great season. We're trying to, you know, we made the playoffs last year. We almost made it to the NFC Championship. So this year, that natural step up. But I just don't want everything hanging on Jordan Love's health. And if he goes down for 3-4 games, even if it's a sprained ankle or something he comes back from, like, I don't want to just automatically have those games be L's and just not have any ability to keep up, because that'll be hard to come back from. So that's kind of my general take on that. I'd rather have Jimmy G, Tannehill are my two guys. But nonetheless, if they can't get those guys, I'd be looking to the draft to upgrade that position.
Perfect. And Jimmy G did sign, I didn't know this either, he signed with the Rams, so...
Oh,
another lottery ticket for Jimmy G gets to move to Los Angeles and hang out with Sean McVay, handsome Matthew Stafford, great guy. Just a bunch of, he gets to move to LA and he's be a clipboard guy and his hair.
And some of his quote unquote models that he likes to hang out with.
Absolutely. All different film models. So he'll be fine there. And I think it's a good segue, because it's like, I don't think there is another, I mean, Tannehill's not a bad one. Honestly, I think it's, you kind of hit it on the head, Rob, is like, you know what, Sean Clifford, if he would have to come in and play, is not going to get it done. Whether it's Love out for a game with a sprained ankle, a shoulder, whatever, it's just not going to do it. So, like, we'll start with you. Is there a guy in this draft value-wise? And I think that's the most important thing. Yes, we could talk about, and we can. That's what this episode is for. We can talk about Caleb Williams. We can talk about Drake May. We can talk about Jaden Daniels. The list can go on and on and on. Realistically, they're not going to draft a guy in the first round, second round, third round, probably not even. If they did, holy shit, they didn't learn anything from doing it from 5 years ago. That being said, like, this is a pretty deep quarterback class. And we say that a lot going into QB classes, specifically because they do get overhyped. They do have players that get traded up for in the first round to be acquired because they might be your lottery ticket. But I think this year does have some depth. There's a plenty of guys that have played a lot of football that maybe have been in a couple different programs that could possibly be there. So let's exclude, and you can definitely highlight any of them that you'd want, Rob, but outside the top five or six, is there anyone that you even think would make sense for the Packers to acquire? And I have a couple guys on my list that I just have always liked their game, but specifically the way that, like, the Packers prioritize quarterbacks, usually pretty raw, have a high ceiling, need some mechanics figured out, a la Rodgers, a la Love. Anyone that you specifically think they would maybe even get later on in the draft? And I mean, this would, am I wrong to say in the top three rounds would be ridiculous?
I mean, I wouldn't say ridiculous because we do have five picks in the first three rounds. So, I mean, maybe they consider that a luxury that they could potentially, with that second, third round pick, potentially do it. But there's a couple names to keep an eye on if they really want to upgrade that position. The first one is one that I don't really hear a whole lot about, but I'm telling you right now, he's probably one of the most physically gifted quarterback prospects that's come out in several years. And he's literally looking at maybe like a fifth round pick grade. And that's Joe Milton out of Tennessee, a guy who actually originally went to Michigan. He's from Orlando, same place that I'm from. So, you know, I used to watch him play in high school, and he was just an incredible athlete. Michigan, one of the top recruits in there. He kind of struggled there when he had his opportunity. Then he transferred to Tennessee. He's been the starter for 2 years. He put up decent stats, but his physical skills, he's huge. He's gigantic. He's can throw the ball like 80 yards flat-footed. He has ridiculous talent. He's fast. Everything you'd want in a quarterback. He reminded me a lot of a guy, blast from the past, Dante Culpepper, is like the guy that he kind of reminded me of, just a spectacular arm athlete, that type of player. So, you know, from my perspective, if you took a flyer on him in, say, round four and got him with Tom Clements and you know, really try to develop him, that would be another guy that I kind of look at as sort of like a poor man's Jordan Love. Like, he's not up to his talent at all, but I'm saying, like, from a backup perspective, would be a guy like Sam Hartman out of Notre Dame is the other guy that I kind of have as like a backup type player, a guy with, you know, quite a lot of playing time. He doesn't have the arm that Love have. He's not quite, but he's good at everything. He's not great at anything. So he'd be kind of that guy that could maybe step in for a couple games and not see a huge drop off. So those are kind of the two guys that and the third one, and maybe Eli wants to talk about him. I will steal his entire thunder. I'll just throw out his name is Jordan Travis, is another guy that's kind of not being talked about a lot out there. So I'll throw it back to you guys, but those are kind of the three guys that I have my eye on.
Scratching me where I itch. So I dove into this QB class right away, and I'm like, I just removed a bunch of guys off the top. Like, it was like gone. Like I said, Bo Nix, Caleb Williams. Like, Packers aren't going to grab him. Joe Milton is an absolute stud. Now, he's played a lot of college football, had some injuries, but it looks like he's developed, rehabbed quite well. He had a couple amazing throws a couple weeks ago. I saw, again, those are just social media clips. Take that for what it is. I think Joe Milton's talent is awesome, unique to what the Packers would have. And the other's perspective, the first guy I looked on the list was Sam Hartman, based off of just, you know what you're going to get. He's not going to flash, but completely different quarterbacks between Milton and Hartman, of course.
Yeah.
Not sure where I fall on Jordan Travis. I like the player in Jordan Travis. I just don't know how tangible he is when it comes to being an NFL quarterback. So those are all fine. I would say Hartman was probably my number one. Milton, I would love. I don't know if the Packers do that type of a thing. Eli, your thoughts on either three, if there's another one you go out there, but like, am I just completely just looking for a stereotypical quarterback pick, and that was Sam Hartman in my head, Eli? Does that make the most sense? It seems like he just would be picked by the Packers, Notre Dame QB.
Matt, that's just you being just drawn to Sam Hartman because of his hair and his beard. And, you know, that's just seems like the cameras love him. So fans love him. I actually went to high school in South Bend, Indiana. So I have, you know, while I do have my Wisconsin allegiances, I also do have a soft spot for Notre Dame. And I did watch a lot of their games. And Sam Hartman for me is like, it's just like, I feel like there's not a very big ceiling there. Like, you know, he could probably come in and move the chains or whatever. But like, I kind of, with what Rob said, I kind of agree when it comes to like Milton and like these high ceiling kind of guys. And that's kind of what I think you should be looking for when you think you have your franchise quarterback. I don't think, what's the point in playing it safe with a low ceiling guy? Go for someone that could maybe really flash and either can come in and be your backup when you need it, or you could flip into a somewhat valuable pick at some point in the future. So I think Middleton's a good call. I mean, we always I hate when people overhype when you see a couple big throws at a pro day, Zach Wilson being the most famous example of that. But, I mean, some of these throws Milton was making at the combine and at his pro day were just – I mean, just the sheer distance on those balls were incredible. So that is cool to see. Another guy I think similar where I think there could be a pretty low floor, but I think also could be a very high ceiling is Spencer Rattler. And I know he's kind of a polarizing prospect in this class, but I just think some of the throws he makes are kind of like jump off the screen. We're like, wow, like that's kind of like some special arm talent. Now he does have decision-making issues that I don't love. He kind of gets a little fidgety in the pocket, which isn't great. I mean, but these are things I think he could potentially work on. But I just look at a guy who, if you have your base, like at your foundation, where at least I know your arm talent could be elite with some polishing in the NFL, and you could work on some other things, that's the kind of like maybe high ceiling shot I take for a backup when you have a guy like Jordan Love. But I did have Sam Hartman on my list. It's not, you know, the craziest thing. And then, you know, Michael Pratt, I almost kind of see similar to Hartman, where you're not getting anything exciting, elite athleticism, mobility, like none of that, but he can go in, he knows how to move around in the pocket, he's tough, he can take a shot, throwing the ball in the pocket. So another guy that he wouldn't be my first choice, but maybe if they just want someone that they feel like can maybe compete with Clifford, get him like in the seventh round, something like that.
Rob, are you viewing Rattler as polarizing as the national media is? Because there's a lot of been conversation around his, you know, his injuries, definitely just rehabbing, it looked a lot slower, tested poorly. Like, I also feel like Rattler could be a guy almost similar to Joe Milton, not as athletic, but like, damn, he might be able to come in and play a little ball. Like, are you sensing the same thing? A lot of people, like what Eli said, they're seeing he's like a polarizing pick right now.
Well, here's the deal with Rattler. So if you guys remember, he was actually the number one quarterback in the country coming out. He was featured on that QB1 series a couple years ago, or before, you know, when he was in high school. And, you know, he never lacks for confidence. That's one thing for sure. I mean, he was always doing crazy things to kind of piss off the other teams and, like, you know, posting some things on social. He went to Oklahoma. He sat for a year. Then he started and had actually a decent year. I think that he got a little bit full of himself and didn't work as hard. And then he got beat out by Caleb Williams. So that's kind of the timeline with Rattler. Got beat out, humbled him. He ended up transferring to South Carolina. I feel like he has a lot more potential than maybe the general public does, because you don't get to be the number one quarterback in the country like by accident. Like, that's something that, you know, you go to the Manning camps and you go to these different places. And now with the analytics and everything, like, it's legit. Like, you're a legit player, at least a legit talent if you get up there. So hopefully these 2 years kind of humbled him a little bit and said, okay, you know, I need to kind of recalibrate a little bit. And I didn't mention him originally because I thought that maybe he would be more of a, like, out of our range, like maybe like mid third that Rattler would go. But I mean, who knows? I mean, there's some off the field stuff with him. I would think that he'd be a great addition as a backup quarterback with the legit talent to take over for, you know, a 5 to 6 game stretch if we need him to, and can actually help us win games, just not maintain, like actually win the games for us.
That's awesome. So the Hartman one was there, definitely low hanging from me, but the Rattler one, as the last 2 days have progressed prepping for this, I'm like, I feel like Rob was going to hate Sam. I did not think you were going to like Spencer Rattler, and you completely flipped the script on me. So
I'm a trades guy. Like, I've always been a trades guy. If you look at like all the players that I love in the NFL, you know, there's these guys that have incredible talent. And I just feel like to be a legit NFL, like Super Bowl champion, you have to have guys that have these elite traits. You have to have guys that are like number one in the country. You have to have these guys that are starting quarterback for Oklahoma as a freshman, like those type of things. I just think you have to have in your arsenal. And if you can get them cheap for like a fourth round pick, like, go for it. Like just jump at it, because you never know what he can develop into.
Hell yeah. And he could continue to slide too. Like, he really could. He can continue. I mean, you said you didn't put him on your list, Rob, because it was a third round pick. But I mean, he could slide in between third. I don't think he's going to go in the top two rounds. That'd be crazy to me. Maybe he does. But third, fourth, fifth round pick, maybe they end up taking a flyer there. I'm going to jump into that too, Rob. Like, the traits I've always noticed from the Packers when they select QBs, and it's different because, like, Ted Thompson era versus the Gutekunst era, like, they're kind of polar opposites when it came to quarterbacks, in my opinion. Like, and we saw that the development of Aaron Rodgers was very necessary when he was brought in. Mike McCarthy helped with that. His arm talent was there, but it was just like the mechanics were ridiculous. And even just seeing some throwback, even when he was in the NFL, were hilarious. Jordan Love has that huge arm, decision-making still being reevaluated. I think there were some decisions he made in that second half of that Niners game that are kind of like, okay, there's still some progression there. But based off the Gutekunst era and the Matt LaFleur, do you see any like certain traits that they need? You know, I look always to like, you know, accuracy is super important just for me from being, you know, a novice when it comes to watching quarterback talent in college. If you can't be efficient with the balls you're throwing in college, there's probably not much of a chance to make up for that in the NFL. But are there any traits that you always look into that maybe specifically for you, you think are great or all teams evaluate, but any specific that the Packers seem to like want to acquire?
Yeah, I think from a Packers standpoint, I mean, they obviously want accuracy because a lot of it, you know, a lot of what they do is predicated on timing, accuracy, getting the ball out, getting into the right place, those type of things. They don't necessarily rely on physical talent that much, but they just want to make sure that the ball's in the right place at the right time, run the offense, those type of things. You know, this has kind of been their MO. I go way back to Ron Wolf, you know, in my days, and you know, he used to always try to draft upside quarterbacks. You know, he went through a streak where like Mark Brunell, Aaron Brooks, Ty Detmer, like he would be drafting these guys and develop them for a year or two behind Favre, and then they go and trade them to somebody else and they become starters. I wouldn't mind if the Packers went back to that because that was
I love that strategy. I'm a huge fan of that. It's awesome.
Because, I mean, we have a great quarterback coach. We have a young quarterback that's, you know, obviously, you know, very secure with himself right now. So why not take a chance on a guy that like, why take that high floor, low ceiling guy, you know, that's just maybe get you through when you can possibly take a chance at a guy like Milton. Even, I mean, I know you kind of ripped on Travis, but Travis has a lot of talent. His passing game improved immensely between 22 and 23. And it was a huge reason why Florida State had the success that they did this year, just simply because he became a much better passer. He came better at surveying the field, at reading defenses, at pre-snap reads, those type of things that aren't necessarily physical, but they're more mental things. And he took a huge leap this year. So, I mean, I was unfortunate with his injury, but he could be kind of that diamond in the rough that, you know, can maybe sit behind and continue to develop those skills. He's kind of, if I'm being honest, like he kind of follows the same path as Jaden Daniels. And Jaden Daniels is being talked about as the second pick in the draft. Now, Jordan Travis wasn't quite to Heisman level, but Jaden Daniels in his first couple of years was a guy that people didn't really look at as anything. Like when he was at Arizona State, he was not really a star player there. He's a starter, but he didn't really, he wasn't the guy that was on the map. Even his first year at LSU, he wasn't really that high regarded. But he made a huge jump this past year, won the Heisman, and now he's talked about as a second-round pick. What would have happened if five games before the regular season or four games, if he would have broke his leg? Like, would we be talking about him the same way? Who knows? Like, if he would have gotten hurt, like, did he show enough in those first eight games to warrant that pick? So, I mean, when I look at that, those are the two guys. If I had my pick, I'd say, you know what, take a flyer on Joe Milton. Take a flyer on Jordan Travis. They're physically gifted. Maybe leave some of these other guys that have a lot of experience. Like there's a bunch of guys, Devin Leary, Eli, you mentioned Pratt. I mean, they just played forever. They played all the time. Like I don't see a lot of upside with those guys. Tua's brother is another guy that, you know, mm-hmm. It's just, the Keaton Slovis seems like he's been in college for like 10 years now, like every school and he's given a shot. So I'd rather just take a guy that say, look, this guy's physically gifted. Let's see what we can do with them. And then if they develop, great. And then maybe we could trade them for some assets down the road.
So then to your point, the Jordan Travis and the Joe Milton would make a ton of sense if we go back to the Ron Wolf narrative. Guys, and it's so fun. Like, I look at these lists and it's like, wow. Did you have a significant injury or two in college as QB? Yes. Did you play five or six years? Yes. Like, there's so many guys that fall into that they transferred. It's like this weird mashing of like six or seven guys that fall into that same narrative. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Michael Penix, but another one, multiple injuries, played a different school, sixth year guy. It's so bizarre. Like, so is there anyone, and this is, I don't want to, Rob might be the only one that can do this. If Eli can, I'm impressed, but is there anyone that's like so far down the list that they wouldn't even be considered to be drafted, the Packers would maybe sign as a UDFA guy, Rob? Do you see anyone that would even be that guy? And I know that opens up quite the back page or two of your notebook, but is there anyone that even makes sense? Like, hey, we didn't even draft a QB because we feel confident in Magoo and we feel confident in Clifford. Maybe that's how they feel inside the locker room.
I don't
like that. Is there any UDFA guy that you would even kick the tires on?
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, there is. There's this kid from Western Kentucky, Austin Reed, that I feel like he has a lot of he's really accurate with the ball. If we want like an intelligent, accurate quarterback, like he'd probably be the guy. You know, they have a quick strike offense at Western Kentucky. He was able to throw accurately with good timing. So he's kind of that guy who's nobody is talking about that could potentially come in, but he's a 6-year senior too. You know, this whole COVID thing, you know, obviously it was a terrible thing for the country, but for these quarterbacks, I mean, these guys got an extra year of eligibility and most of them took advantage of it. There's a ton of transfers. There's hardly any guys that started and finished at the same school that you had mentioned a couple times now, but you know, it'd be him would be one. Carter Bradley from South Alabama is another guy that didn't really show a whole lot, but they transferred his last year to South Alabama and he showed some life. He could potentially, you know, be an undrafted free agent. I'm hoping that the Packers are sort of looking for that upgrade in that position, just simply because I'm not a huge fan of Sean Clifford. And I feel like, man, if we have a Super Bowl caliber team and Jordan Love goes down, like, I want someone that's going to at least come in and scare people a little bit.
I love that you picked Austin Reed because, you know, you look at what just that Western Kentucky offense has been, I would say, over a decade. They will roll out, whether it be a quarterback or two or a couple positional players that just, like, statistically are, like, absurd. And you always have to kind of make sure you're referencing, okay, yes, statistically, this guy's nuts, but like he actually has talent. Like when we're talking about Austin Reed having 4,700 yards in 2022 and 40 touchdowns, like that's a lot. Like that's absurd in college. But like there have been productive players that have came out of that program, Bailey Zappe being one, of course, like where they've just been, hey, we might be able to plug and play this guy for a few games and it might work out. So I like Austin Reed. The fact that he might not get drafted, potentially, I could probably agree with you on that, but you never know if anyone wants to roll out a guy. Eli, do you have any that are late down the list here? Anything, and maybe anything homegrown around the Midwest?
To be honest, the only guy that was even on my radar that late was Reed. So when Rob said that, I was like, all right, well, I guess I won't have much to add to this conversation. But I don't know. I feel like unless there's someone that they think has some insane traits and crazy upside or arm talent. Like if you're not going to draft someone, then either develop Clifford and Magoo or sign a veteran. I don't know if adding another guy off the street to muddy up whatever reps are left over for Clifford and Magoo. I don't know if that's worth it.
That's a great
point, Eli. Just grabbing a guy to grab a guy. I mean, we have got those guys on the roster right now. So, I mean, there is one other guy that I want to bring up I mentioned him one time, but this guy, Devin Leary, that was actually at NC State and then he transferred to Kentucky this past year. After his 2021 season, in 2021, he passed for 3,433 yards and 35 touchdowns. And believe it or not, so this is like 3 years ago, he was talked about as like a potential top 10 pick of the draft. And people were really like salivating over his thing. Now, if there's any way that somehow, because like the last couple of years for him have been a downhill, like he has not, he's been injured. He hasn't had a whole lot, but you know, just based upon that 1 year, if somehow we can like, and I wrote about it in the Cheesehead TV draft guide, that he can tap into the ghost of Leary's past. It's Tom Clemens. So we'll see. He's that other guy that, you know, I mean, why not take a shot at him? You know, what can you lose?
Hell yeah. And only plays 1 year at Kentucky too. So it's like that transitional phase. But when you mention his 2021 stats, like very solid. It's just, yeah, I do remember. It's funny you say that. I do remember Leary a few years ago, people talking about, and that happens a lot, right? I mean, there's tons of QBs, specifically in the quarterbacks, that just, they'll be like, okay, this guy next in 2 years, in 2026, will be like drafted super high, and all of a sudden it never pans out. There's a list of guys. Leary might be one of them, and even that transition going from NC State to Kentucky might have stunted his growth there. So final question for you guys. Eli, I'll start with you. Do the Packers draft a quarterback?
I feel like they probably do. They have 11 picks. Goody has mentioned how much they value the quarterback room. And, I mean, look, they took Sean Clifford in the fifth. They could easily draft a quarterback at some point in this draft.
Oh, yeah. Rob, same question to you.
Yeah, I agree. I think that with 11 picks, you know, I don't think they're going to waste any picks, but I feel like that position is something that they want to take a look at. So if they don't sign a veteran quarterback, I feel like they're going to probably go into the draft. I'm just a little scared that they might go like think about Sean Clifford. I mean, he's about as vanilla as you get from quarterbacks. Like he has no elite traits, and I'd rather have them, you know, take a chance on somebody than just kind of go with that same old kind of thing. So, you know, I want them to, and I think they will, but I'm just, you know, really, really crossing my fingers that it's going to be one of those upset guys.
I couldn't agree more. Like, I just feel like Clifford put a bad taste in every fan's mouth. And it's like, well, man, like, wouldn't it be nice to have a guy that potentially you could trade for draft capital, have a guy that you can roll out there and at least make some plays. And truly, Sean Clifford is very vanilla, not even vanilla bean. He is just like vanilla Kemps. You just bust out a gallon jug of it. And I would love, based off of what we talked about, like the injuries and some of these guys a little bit, you know, played a lot of time. Like there might be some volatility that teams don't want a certain player that's had multiple knee injuries or, you know, been in school for 6 years. It might allow a team that necessarily doesn't need a quarterback to kind of sit and wait, let them fall and grab them. So I agree. I think it makes a ton of sense, especially like you said, Eli, with 11 picks. It seems like that's been the narrative the last 2 years. Goody's going to hang on to those. And why not go grab another quarterback? Because it is, frankly, a deep QB class. I mean, when we're going down the list here, and just on this list alone, when we have Devin Leary, this one has him at 14, when we already had the guy from Western Kentucky, he was like 19. Like there's a ton of guys that could be drafted. Yeah. Even in this top 10 list, like there's guys that should go probably in the third round, if not higher, just based off of the talent alone. We already mentioned Joe Milton, Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt was one. Like there's a ton of dudes. Sam Hartman's 10th on this list. Like there's a lot of guys that could potentially work their way up to that third, fourth round, but still going to be a shit ton of value, 5th, 6th, 7th round. So I'm excited for the QB class. I really am. I think it's going to be great. It'll be fun after the first day to say who went. Do those peripheral guys, the Michael Penixes, the, you know, another names we've already mentioned, do they sneak into the first round? Possibly. I would say they probably do. And then what's left over come day two?
I think there's going to be 6 quarterbacks picked in round one. I honestly do. Yeah. I think that 4 out of the top 5 picks are probably going to be quarterbacks. And then somewhere along the line, Penix and Nix are going to be taken at some point, probably even before pick 20. I think that there's some teams that are hoping that some guys maybe fall back to him. There's going to be teams trying to trade up to get the J.J. McCarthy, and even maybe with New England. But, you know, I just feel like those top 3 teams are kind of locked and loaded. I feel like they all need quarterbacks. They cleared the deck of their other quarterbacks, and they're ready to move forward. But then it really starts with that McCarthy thing. And then after McCarthy, you know, there's going to be only one team that gets them. So there's going to be about, you know, 3-4 teams that, you know, would like to have them. Couple wild cards with the quarterback position as well. I've heard a couple times at Dallas, Dak Prescott going into his last year of his contract, and they can't franchise him, that they could be one of those sneaky picks that could potentially take like a Bo Nix. I think they picked 20 or 21. Denver needs a quarterback. Raiders need a quarterback. There's teams that are out there that so I think that there's a legit possibility that six quarterbacks are taken in round one. So, and there's even going to be teams that are being left in the dust with that. So I'm excited about the quarterback situation. I'm really excited that the Packers don't need one. So we don't. So the more that gets picked ahead of our pick, the more choices there are when we get on the clock. So that's all I'm thinking. Take six early. Take them the first six. I don't care. Because that gives us a better pool of talented players.
So six QBs in the first round. That's a good number to try to keen in on. If it's before like the Packers picks too, like you said, it just lets those non-QBs continue to fall, better equity there. We already know the receiver class is pretty deep, the tackle spot's pretty deep, so you could potentially get one of the number one, two, three players at a certain position if you're targeting for the Packers. Guys, as we wrap up here, obviously we'll be together for the next couple weeks. We already mentioned we're going to be doing the players that don't fit the Green Bay Packers. We'll do a day two recap, day three preview, which will be very, very exciting in the coming weeks. But Eli, let everyone know the content you're pushing out these days. I saw the Pack had another awesome guest or coming on guest. I don't remember if it was which one, but let everyone know, Eli, where you're putting all your content and that you still are dabbling in the basketball world with ML basketball.
Yes. So last night on the Pack, we had Paul Bredel, of course, from the Packers Wire. Great guy, always putting out great content. So go check out the episode. He had some good insight into this Packer draft season. And as Matt just mentioned, if you Bucks fans getting ready for the playoffs want to give ML basketball a follow, that would be great too. And over at Packer Report, again, all my draft content will be there. Middle of working on a piece covering the cornerbacks in this draft, and then we're going to dive into the offensive line a little later this week. So keep an eye out for that. And then, of course, if you're too lazy to look for all that, it'll all end up on my Twitter page at @BookofEli_NFL to make it easier for you.
Even you, Eli, we do this every week, almost every week. There's new stuff all the time. You always got new stuff, but Rob, I'm interested. Rob's always got something. He's doing this radio show. He's doing that radio show. Very, very well done plug, the Cheesehead draft guide. So, Rob, let everyone know what you got going on. Make sure you take the time to do it because people haven't heard you on the airwaves here in about 11 months from the Pack-A-Day side. So please let us know.
All right, thanks, man. So, yeah, in addition to this Pack-A-Day that we're doing Saturday mornings dropping, I also write for the Cheesehead TV draft guide. I cover quarterbacks, and I also cover small school sleepers. So if you're a Packer fan and you haven't picked up that yet, I would definitely do it. I also appear on the radio. I'm the hired gun on 97.3 The Game. So I'm their hired draft analyst. So I'll be appearing starting next week on the radio pretty much daily on that through the draft and even after the draft. The Cheesehead TV and obviously the Pack-A-Day stuff. So you can also follow me on Twitter. I put a lot of hot takes out there. It's @NFL Draft Regs, R-E-G-S, is my Twitter handle. And like I said, lots of hot takes, including Jordan Love not signing his contract on there.
Definitely. And Rob, I got to say, over the years, as we've continued to get more familiar with your Eli and me specifically, like you'll put the hot takes out, but you'll add context, whether it's statistics or whether it is hey, this is how the Packers handled the situation before. That's what I always love, because it's like, oh, I see a hot take from Rob, but then he's got three or four tweets below it that are threaded that are like, oh, shit, that actually makes too much sense. Just like the DMs last night where I'm like, damn it. Yeah. He might be on to another one. For myself, you can still find me on Twitter @Matt_Frey_. That's @MATT_FRA_. Pack-A-Day Podcast is where I do all my Packers content, of course, on Twitter with some hot takes here and there. If you guys are listening to this episode and you really haven't subscribed on YouTube or on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or get your podcast, please do. This is a time of the year where if you're not already following us on Twitter, @Pack-A-Day Podcast, you definitely should, because that's where more people like Rob and other experts around the draft come on to Pack-A-Day. Kind of gives you a different perspective. So if you want more of a deep dive, every single episode over the next couple of weeks is going to be specifically around positional groups, which fits make the most sense, recaps. And it's going to be a little bit more of a in-depth dive. I know we've done that with Ross and Andy on the YouTube side already, but continuing to get into as it becomes more and more relevant with players sliding up and down the draft boards, the big boards. That's what I'm really excited to continue to dive in with you guys. But next week, like we said, the Packers that don't fit, and that is going to be such a wide open scenario, you guys, of just don't. And I'm intimidated by it, because it's one of those where it's not just position, like go dive in the queue. It's literally, here's 500 prospects, 300 prospects, which ones don't fit. So I'm interested to see how you guys evaluate that, but that'll be, I guess, not even fit, a void will be next week, Saturday. But for Rob Rieger, Eli Berkovitz, I'm Matt Frelick. You guys take care, be well, and of course, go Pack, go.